All right, everyone, ready to dive in. Today, we're looking at a Supreme Court case that might seem a little, well, unexpected.
Unexpected? How so?
Well, it all revolves around milk jugs. Yep, you heard that right. Cloverleaf Creamery Cone v. City of Rochester. Don't worry, it's way more interesting than it sounds.
Oh, absolutely. This case is a real gem. It gets at the heart of environmental regulations, economic interests, and even state versus federal power. It all starts in Minnesota, back in 1977. They passed this law banning the sale of milk in non-returnable plastic jugs.
And trying to cut down on waste and pollution. Right. Makes sense.
Right. But here's the catch. They still allowed milk to be sold in paperboard cartons.
So plastic's the bad guy, paper's the hero. I thought that was kind of the thinking back then.
Well, that's exactly what Cloverleaf Creamery and a bunch of other companies argued when they challenged the law. They said, hold on a minute, this ban is going to backfire. They actually claimed paper cartons were worse for the environment overall, and that's where the Equal Protection Clause comes in.
Okay, gotta admit, my legal knowledge is a little rusty. Remind me about the Equal Protection Clause.
Basically, it says everyone should be treated equally under the law. So the creamery is arguing that this law is unfairly discriminating against plastic jugs and giving paper cartons a free pass.
So just saying it's unfair isn't enough, right?
Yeah.
They had to prove the legislature was... what, acting crazy?
Not crazy exactly, but irrational. They had to convince the court that Minnesota's legislature couldn't possibly have believed this ban would actually help the environment. The Supreme Court uses what's called a rational basis test.
Rational basis? Sounds like a pretty low bar.
It can seem that way. Basically, they give legislatures a lot of leeway, assuming they're acting in good faith. The challengers have to show the law is totally arbitrary, no connection to a legitimate goal. Otherwise, the court usually upholds it.
So what happened in this milk jug showdown? Did the court side with the creamery?
Nope. Justice Brennan wrote the majority opinion and he sided with Minnesota. He said, look, the state doesn't have to prove for certain that banning plastic jugs is going to magically solve all their environmental problems.
So as long as they did their homework and had some evidence to back up their reasoning, the court wasn't going to second guess them.
Pretty much. Yeah. Brennan even made an interesting point about how legislatures can tackle big problems. He said they don't have to solve everything at once. They can start with plastic jugs and maybe look at paper cartons later.
Kind of a baby steps approach to environmental policy. But what about the businesses? I mean, this ban probably had a big impact, especially on companies outside of Minnesota.
You're hitting on a key point there because this case also dealt with the Commerce Clause, mm-hmm. which basically says states can't pass laws that unfairly mess with interstate commerce. And banning plastic jugs, well, that seemed like it could help industries within Minnesota, like the folks making paper cartons while hurting out-of-state plastic manufacturers.
So how did the court balance that with Minnesota's environmental goals? Did they just say, tough luck, businesses, the environment comes first?
Well, they acknowledged there could be some economic fallout, but they said the burden on interstate commerce wasn't clearly excessive compared to the state's environmental goals.
Okay, there's another one of those legal terms, clearly excessive. So what does that actually mean in this situation?
Basically, the court weighed things out. On one hand, you have Minnesota trying to protect the environment. On the other, you have potential disruptions to business. And in this case, they said the environment won out.
Makes sense. But what about those businesses outside of Minnesota who are on the losing end of this deal? Did they just have to accept it?
Well, not everyone on the court was happy with the outcome. In fact, we had two justices, Justice Powell and Justice Stevens, who raised some really important concerns in their separate opinions. They highlighted some potential problems with this seemingly simple milk jug regulation.
Sounds like there's more to this story than meets the eye. This case really got the justices thinking, huh?
You bet it did. And these dissenting opinions can give us a valuable look at how complex legal reasoning can be. So, are you ready to dig deeper and see what Powell and Stevens had to say?
Absolutely, lead the way. All right, let's dive into those dissenting opinions. Like you said, they can give us a whole new perspective on the case. Let's start with Justice Powell. He voted with the majority on the equal protection issue, right? But the Commerce Clause thing seemed to bother him.
Yeah, he agreed that the law passed that rational basis test, but he had some serious reservations about how it might affect interstate commerce. He was especially concerned about what the lower courts had found, particularly the district court. They suggested that this law, well, it might have been designed to protect local businesses.
So it wasn't just about the environment. Maybe Minnesota was trying to give their own companies a leg up.
That's what Powell was worried about. He argued that this protectionist aspect needed a closer look, especially considering the potential burden on businesses from other states. He even wanted to send the whole case back to the lower courts to investigate that further.
So, even though he agreed that protecting the environment was a legitimate goal, he was suspicious about Minnesota's real motives. He thought they might have been using the environment as an excuse to play favorites with their own industries.
Exactly. Remember, the Commerce Clause is there to prevent states from passing laws that give their own businesses an unfair advantage over companies in other states. Howell thought this case needed more scrutiny to make sure Minnesota wasn't crossing that line.
It makes you wonder, what if more of the justices had agreed with Powell? Could the outcome have been different? But he didn't get enough votes to change the decision. Okay, now, Justice Stevens. His dissent took a completely different angle, didn't it?
Right. Stevens was all about judicial deference, but he focused on respecting the Minnesota Supreme Court, not the state legislature. He argued that the U.S. Supreme Court shouldn't have second-guessed how the Minnesota Supreme Court interpreted their own state laws and the facts of the case.
So he's basically saying the Minnesota Supreme Court knows their state better than we do, and they clearly had some problems with this law. We should trust their judgment.
Exactly. Stevens believed that the U.S. Supreme Court was overstepping its boundaries by basically substituting its judgment for the judgment of the state's highest court.
He was arguing for a more hands-off approach,
sure,
letting state courts handle their own affairs.
Wow, so we have three different perspectives on this case. The majority opinion saying trust the legislature, Powell raising questions about Minnesota's motives, and Stevens saying we should defer to state courts. This milk jug case is turning out to be a lot more complicated than it seemed at first, huh?
It really is. And these tensions between different levels of government, different branches of government, individual rights versus the common good, there's still issues we grapple with today. Cloverleaf Creamery is like a tiny example of these much bigger debates.
And it makes you think, how would this case be decided today? You know, with everything that's changed since 1981. Our understanding of the environment is different. The political landscape has shifted. Plastic isn't exactly seen as the miracle material it once was. That's a great point. Our awareness of plastic's impact on the planet has come a long way. Back then, the concerns were just starting to emerge. Now it's a major issue. We see plastic pollution everywhere, in the oceans, landfills. We're even finding microplastics in our food and water.
Yeah, it's hard to ignore. You've got documentaries about those massive garbage patches in the ocean, studies about the health risks, those viral videos of animals trapped in plastic. The image of plastic has definitely changed since the 1950s.
For sure. And that change in how we view plastic, it's had an impact on the law, too. Imagine those lawyers trying to argue against the ban today. It'd be a much tougher fight. They couldn't just brush off the concerns about plastic as exaggerated or unimportant.
All right, let's jump into that time machine and imagine Cloverleaf Creamery is back in court today.
Mm-hmm.
Same case, same arguments, but it's 2023 now. What's changed since 1981 that might make the justices think differently?
Well, like we've been talking about, the biggest change is how we see plastic. Back in 81, people were just starting to worry about pollution. Now, it's everywhere, right? Oceans, landfills, even our food. It's a huge issue.
You see it everywhere. Those pictures of beaches covered in trash, those videos of sea turtles with straws stuck in their noses. Plastic doesn't have that shiny, happy image it used to.
Nope, not at all. And that shift, how people think about plastic, it's changed the legal world too. Those lawyers trying to fight the ban today, they'd have a way tougher job. They couldn't just say, oh, plastic's no big deal.
They'd have to admit there's a problem, but maybe try to argue that the answer is better recycling or new types of plastic, not bans.
Right. They might point to things like plant-based plastics and say, look, the industry is trying to be more eco-friendly. And they definitely talk about how cheap and convenient plastic is, how it helps keep food fresh longer.
But wouldn't Minnesota argue that those benefits don't matter as much when you think about the long-term damage? All that plastic in the ocean, the health risks, the impact on climate change.
Exactly. And that's where it gets really interesting. A court today would have to decide what's more important, helping the economy right now or protecting the environment for the future.
And we can't forget that plastic pollution isn't just a Minnesota problem. It's a global issue.
Absolutely. So even though this case started in Minnesota, a court today would have to consider the bigger picture. The stakes are much higher now.
Which brings us back to Justice Powell's dissent. He was worried about states protecting their own businesses and hurting others.
Right, and in today's world where everything's connected, that's even more important. If one state bans plastic milk jugs, it could affect businesses and shoppers all over the country, maybe even the whole world.
So even if the court agrees that Minnesota wants to protect the environment, they still have to think about those ripple effects, all those unintended consequences.
And let's not forget Justice Stevens and his argument about respecting state courts. What if the Supreme Court today decided to trust the Minnesota Supreme Court's decision and maybe even overturn the ban?
It's mind-blowing to think about all these different viewpoints and how they might play out in a modern courtroom.
Yeah.
It's like the same case is happening in a parallel universe with different players and a way more complex situation.
And that's what makes cases like this and legal history in general so fascinating. It's not just about old rules and abstract ideas. It's about seeing how the law changes as society changes, as our understanding of science and economics changes.
It reminds us that even something as basic as a milk jug can raise these huge questions about how we balance different interests, how we protect the environment, how we make choices that affect everyone.
And more than anything, it makes us think about our own role in all of this. What do we do as consumers? What policies do we support as citizens? These aren't just ideas, they have real consequences for us, for our communities, for the future.
So the next time you're at the store looking at all those milk containers, think about the legal battles behind them and all the bigger questions about sustainability, about what we're leaving behind for future generations.
Because in the end, it's not really about milk jugs, is it? It's about making choices that reflect our values, understanding that even the smallest decisions can have a huge impact.
That's a great takeaway. Thanks for taking us on this deep dive into Cloverleaf Creamery. It's amazing how a case about something so ordinary can make us think so deeply about the law, the environment, and our own responsibility.
It was my pleasure. And to everyone listening, keep those minds curious and keep exploring the world of legal history and how it shapes our lives.